Beginning in verse 14, and then we'll read on through into chapter 3 and read down to verse 9 this morning. Try to bring the message today that we feel the Lord would have us to try to preach this morning with the help of the Lord. Right, verse 14 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. And ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Thank you. Be seated. Our Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning. And Lord, as we ask you, Lord, today to open up these verses, Lord, from the Word of God that we have read today. And Lord, give us understanding and spiritual enlightenment. And today, Lord, upon the Word of God, and I confess my inability, Lord, and I pray that God would help us to have the ability today, and Lord, that you'd give the message, Lord, clarity today in its presentation, and I pray that, Lord, you might give us illustrative abilities, that, Lord, that we don't possess, and God, I pray this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. I pray for the power of the Word of God. Yes. You know, the Word of God is powerful. And we pray for God, Lord, to move today upon this service. David said, "God has spoken. Once have I heard this, yea, twice. Power belongs to God." And Lord, we know you use your power to do your work according to your will. We pray for the lost today. We rejoice, Lord, over the brother that was saved last Sunday.
Amen.
And we rejoice to see him back today. Hungered for the Word of God.
Thank you,
and so, Lord, we pray for other lost that might be here today. We pray for us as Christians in our different stages of growth that God will minister to us, and that we'll give God all the praise and glory.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of my sins, faults, and failures, yes. And for the help of your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
For it's in Jesus' name we do ask it all. Amen and amen.
Amen.
If you was here last Sunday night, I preached out of the book of Colossians. And I preached there about the three men found there in Colossians chapter number 3. Those of you that went with me yesterday to the preacher's fellowship, there was some preaching along that line. And God had already laid the message upon my heart for today before we went up there. But I'm always amazed at how that a lot of times I notice that God will move other preachers, and he'll move us all kind of in the same direction sometimes at the same point or time in our lives. But I want to look here this morning, and I want to preach this morning about three men in the Corinthian church. Now, there are several sets of threes in the Corinthian church, and I don't have time to go into all of them. But just in chapter 1 alone, we have in verse 12, we have Paul and Apollos and Cephas, or Peter. And then we have Crispus and Gaius and Stephanus, and that's just in chapter 1. But you're not familiar with any of them. I mean, you know who Paul is, you know who Cephas is, and you may know a little bit about Apollos from reading the Word of God. But the three men that I'm going to preach about this morning, I think everyone is personally acquainted with, at least for the most part. Maybe not all together, but for the most part, everyone is acquainted with these three men found in the Corinthian church. Now, of course, the Corinthian church is like every church. There's a lot of people in the Corinthian church, just like there's a lot of people in this church.
Bless you, Lord.
But I want to preach this morning about these three men in particular that I'm going to name this morning in this church setting. Now, like the children of Israel, we as a church, like the children of Israel, we journey, we travel with a mixed multitude.
Oh, yeah.
We can say the good, bad, and the ugly. I'll let you figure it out. Amen. Some are a blessing, some are a burden, and some are bad publicity. But they're all a part of the church.
Bless him, Lord.
Now, quite simply, I want us to look this morning here at what can be a confusing issue, but I tend to make it as brief and as clear as I possibly can with the help of the Lord. But there's three men mentioned here in the Scripture that we have read today. First of all, in verse 14, we have the Mr. Natural Man. He's mentioned there in verse 14, and the Bible said, but the natural man, there it is. And so we have Mr. Natural Man. Now you say, who is Mr. Natural Man? Well, he is quite simply the man that has only been born of the natural.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you don't hear much about it these days, but sometimes you'll hear in the Amish communities and places like that, they'll say that so-and-so had their baby naturally. In other words, they didn't involve medication, things of that nature. But the Bible speaks about a natural birth. And there is a natural man.
Yes.
Now the natural man this morning is the unsaved man.
Right.
The Bible tells us in John 3 that Jesus spoke to and spoke about the natural man.
Right.
John 3 said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? He's talking about that natural birth.
Right.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now watch verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Amen.
That is the natural man.
Right.
That which is born of the flesh is simply that. It is the flesh. Now, what do we know this morning about the natural man? Well, we know this morning in our scripture reading today, we know that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
He cannot receive them.
Amen.
Why can't he receive them? Because they're spiritual and he's natural.
Amen.
Simply that way. Amen. We know that the natural man, that's that man that after Adam sinned in the garden, Adam sinned, and because of his sin, Adam fell, and the whole human race fell with him.
Yeah. Amen.
Along with Eve. And so we know that natural man, after that happened, that when God comes into his garden,
bless him, Lord.
When God comes into the garden of that natural man, he runs from God.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
When God comes in the garden of that natural man, he hides from God.
Amen.
When God comes in the garden of that natural man, he fears God.
Amen.
Now, that's what happens with every unsaved man.
Amen.
You say, we can't get them to come to church. No, they're running from God.
Amen.
And if they come to church, they're trying to hide behind the songbook, or they're trying to hide behind the people in front of them. You say, why? That's the natural man.
Amen.
They're afraid. They fear God. And they're afraid of God. They're afraid of a confrontation or a meeting with God.
Amen.
Just like Adam was. And then that natural man, he tries the best he can to clothe himself, to hide his sin. You see, something happened to Adam and them when they fell, and it was visibly able to be seen.
That's right.
They tried to hide it from God.
Amen.
But can I tell you that no amount of fig leaves and fig leaves in the Bible, figs in the Bible, their type and their kin to that nation of Israel. Israel is connected with the fig leaf.
Yeah. Right.
And we know about Israel. The Bible said that Israel, that they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Amen.
They being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they went about to establish their own righteousness. In other words, they tried to act like there's all right. That's the way the natural man does.
Amen.
Amen. We know today that the natural man, that we read there in the Word of God, that the natural man, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now he can see with his natural eyes. He can see Eddie and Nathan, and he can see you, and he can see what I've got on, and he can see the building, and he can see the grounds, and he can see the sign, and he can see all of that. But the natural man cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, why? It's spiritual.
Yes, right.
And he can't see because that he is a natural. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we might call that natural man today. We could actually call him the soulish man. The soulish man. And we can say that that soulless man, it's actually the word, if you want to study it out and look at it, it's the word psychic is what the word is. And what that word means this morning, in an illustration that a preacher gave, and it's a good one, he said man, when he was first made, that man was created like a three-story building. And he said the bottom story being the body, the lower story being the body, the natural man, and the second story being the soul. Now the natural man, that's just us, that's just the man created. And then the second story is the soul, and the soul is the emotions, the soul is the center of the affections and all of those things. But the third story is the spirit. And the spirit is the highest point. The spirit is that part that knows the things of God,
Amen.
Sees the things of God, is able to commune with God, is able to worship God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, when they sinned, the spirit fell all the way down to the basement.
Amen.
And the spirit that was to be the part that know, that commune with God, that connected with God. You see, when man sinned, God told him, he said, in the day you sin, you're going to die.
Amen.
Now, it wasn't the physical man that died that day. It was the spiritual man.
Amen.
That's the problem today with man, is he has a dead spirit.
Amen.
He has a dead spirit. Now the spirit, when God created man, the spirit was that part that was to lead and direct and to guide man. But Brother Eddie, when that spirit died, then all of that was left up to the soul. The soul took the preeminent place over the spirit. Now, the only problem with that is man is now contaminated with sin. There was a moral earthquake in the garden, and it caused that top story to fall all the way down into the basement. Now, the soul is led, by its emotions. The soul is led by its feelings. Amen. Somebody said, well, just go by your feelings. You can't do that altogether.
That's right, brother.
Somebody said, well, just go by your emotions. You can't do that altogether.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you see the soul, the center, the emotion of man, Brother Eddie, now it's been contaminated. There's something wrong with it. And really we could say that natural man, that soulish man, that he is a person that is really led of his own emotion, led of his own affections, led by his own feelings.
Amen.
He's not led of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so he's a misled man.
Amen, Brother Rick.
For the most part, self-possessing. Mm-hmm. For the most part, self-sufficient. For the most part, self-directed. For the most part, living by his own self-set up rules, you see.
Oh, yeah.
That's a picture of the natural man. That's the way he is. He's controlled by his emotions. Now that's not to say this morning that the natural man may not be a gracious man. He may not be a kind man. He may even be a good moral man. But he does that because all those things as to how it affects him.
Amen.
Does not do it because he's led of God to do it, Brother Eddie, like the spiritual man would do. But he's led it because he finds out that if he's not an honest man, it'll cause him problems. And so he decides to be honest, not because it's right, not because that God led him to do that, but because by being honest, he won't go to jail, he won't go to the pen, he won't have problems. What I'm trying to say here is that all he does in one way or the other, he does it because of self.
Right. Right.
Amen, brother.
He does it because of self.
Amen.
Everything he does. You know, all sin, I don't know a single one, but all sin in some way or another, it appeals to the satisfaction of self.
Amen.
If you didn't think you was going to get satisfaction out of it, you wouldn't do it. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, it's a deceived satisfaction. It's a misled satisfaction. But still, it's satisfying the self. Now, the spiritual man, as we'll see, he don't live, Brother Eddie, just to satisfy himself.
Yeah, right.
That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to have to deny what?
Self.
You've got to deny yourself.
Amen.
And follow me, he said.
Amen.
So the unsaved man, the natural man, he's following his own, self, his own feelings, his own emotion. He doesn't even necessarily follow his own conscience. So let me say that conscience, if it's not seared, if it's not defiled, that conscience can be a good thing, maybe in some extent if you listen to it. But altogether, there's something better than conscience.
Amen.
That's the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know your conscience could lead you to do something or to not to do something, and it'd be wrong?
That's right. Right.
Yes, amen.
But I'll tell you, the Word of God will never lead you to do something or not to do something, and it'd be wrong.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
Because we know the Word of God is right. Now you see, salvation, and I know when God gives us a simple plan of salvation, thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
But I want to say this morning, and I want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. I want you to understand that salvation, the best description of salvation is a revelation. There's a lot of people in the world today, and probably in this room today, that understand the plan of salvation, but they have not yet received the revelation of salvation.
Right.
The natural man can understand the plan of salvation. I mean, he can understand it in the sense of what it says do.
Yeah.
But he can't understand it in the spiritual sense, because we just read the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But in better words, I'll let the man of God speak to it. And in Galatians 1, Paul said, "Brethren, I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man."
Amen.
Now, not that he hadn't heard men preach the gospel, I'm sure he had. But he said, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You say, what's that mean? God gives us a revelation of what the gospel is through the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
We have a revelation of the gospel, of what it is. Amen. That's what preachers mean when they say it's one thing to make a mental assessment to it. It's another thing to make a spiritual assessment to it. That's what Jesus meant when he spoke to Peter. And he said, Peter, he said, flesh and blood, the natural man, flesh and blood, hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You see, you can hear the gospel all your life and never hear the gospel.
Amen.
But one day you go to the church, same preacher, same Bible, same book, maybe even same message, but you go that day and somehow another that connects, and there's a revelation, and you realize Christ didn't just die for the world, but Christ died for me.
Amen.
And God begins to deal with your heart, and that you see that you're lost and without God, and headed to a devil's hell, and God gives you a revelation that Christ took your place. He died on the cross. He died in your stead. He became your payment.
Amen.
And if you'll believe him and accept him, that he will be your salvation. Amen. He'll
Amen.
Be your payment for sin. That is the revelation, thank God, of salvation. But the natural man, He doesn't know that, Brother Eddie.
Bless him.
The natural man has not yet come to realize that.
That's right, Brother Rick.
And so there's that natural man. But then he says, look at verse 1 and 4 of chapter 3. And he said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spirituals, but as unto carnal. It's a natural man there. But then there's a carnal man. Mr. Carnal Man. You say, who's he? He's Christian. Now, I know that some preachers would argue, maybe some of you, would argue that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Well, if there's no such thing as a carnal Christian, then there's no such thing as a natural man or a spiritual man.
Right.
Because they're found within three verses apart.
Amen.
And the same Bible that says there's a natural man also says that there is a carnal man. Now, let me say this. Would you say this morning that the carnal man, that Brother Rick, is he a Christian? Yes, he's a Christian. Is he going to heaven? Yes, he's going to heaven. Well, what's the difference in the carnal man and the natural man? Well, the carnal man, he's had the revelation. He's been saved. She's been saved. Accepted Christ, trying to live for the Lord. Joined the church and in the church. But within this church, there is carnal Christians, and there is, we'll look in a minute at the spiritual man, and there is spiritual Christians.
Yes, right.
Now the carnal Christian, he's spiritual too. He's saved, he's got the Holy Spirit living inside of him and all like that. But you see, within every one of us, there's that natural man, mm-hmm. and there is that carnal man. He's a Christian, but he's leaning more to the natural man than he is the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And one of the reasons that we have a lot of times trouble in churches, one of the reasons that we have problems in churches.
Bless him, Lord.
Sometimes it's not, a lot of times preachers will say, well, the reason we have problems in churches is because that we have so many people that are not saved. Not so necessarily. The reason we have problems in churches sometimes is because we have more carnal people
Amen.
Than we do spiritual people.
Amen.
What's wrong with the world today? Why is our world in the shape it's in? Quite simply, we have more wicked men than we do good men.
Amen.
The Bible said wicked men would wax worse and worse until the time of the end.
Yeah.
When we have good men, good statesmen, good congressmen, good senators, good schools, good government, when we had all that, the world was basically a lot better than it is today.
Amen.
But the reason the world is in the mess it is in today is because we have more people and more people that know not God, that don't believe the Bible, know nothing of the things of God, too many natural men, not enough saved men.
Amen.
And that's what's causing all of the problems today. Well, the same thing's true of the church. You say, well, Brother Rick, how can you tell who's a natural man and who's a carnal man and who's a spiritual man? Well, the natural man does not profess Christ. He's not yet professed Christ or been saved. But the carnal man, he has been saved. He is a part of the church, and he's very easy to recognize. Very easy to recognize. Now you can always tell the false from the real, provided you ever had the real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now the reason the world today can't tell the false from the real is because a lot of them have never had the real.
Amen. That's good, brother.
Have you ever had real homemade biscuits?
Woo! Amen.
My little granddaughter can make homemade biscuits. She can make them just as good as my wife can.
Praise the Lord, brother.
But if you ever had the real good, I mean somebody knows how to make them, real good homemade biscuits, do you think, Brother Lance, you could tell one of them from one of these?
Amen, brother. Couldn't ask.
You know why you can tell that? Because you've had the real.
Yeah.
Now, if you ain't never had the real, you might think them grands.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one of the weaker real ones, they are grand, I guess, if you don't have somebody to make the real.
Amen, brother.
But if you ever had the real, you have no clue. No clue of what you're missing, what's going on. Amen.
Amen.
You see, if you've never heard real preaching.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! Praise the Lord.
You think Joe Osteen's great.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
See, the reason a lot of people think that's so great is bless their hearts, they've never heard any real preaching. Real anointed Bible preaching. And if they'd ever heard that, they'd know the first service that something was wrong.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard real anointed gospel singing of the old hymn? If you ever heard them, you'd know rock, Christian rock's not right.
Amen.
You'd say, why? You'd know that because you know the real. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever had homemade, I'm talking about somebody knows how to do them. We got some people here real good at that. My wife, she's good, and I get in trouble here pointing some out. But Joanne, she makes good ones. Sister Charlotte makes good ones. But have you ever had anybody that's made just God old, just old home-cooked pinto beans?
Rolling, brother. Amen.
You know, they don't cook them real fast. They just take their time and cook them, maybe throw a big ham hock in there and just cook them, you know. And boy, have you ever had them?
Oh, yeah.
You ever had them, Jack?
Yes, sir.
If you ever had them, you know these canned Lux beans? They're not the real thing. But I want to say this, though. You know, a lot of people, they call music played on CD and people sing by it, they call that canned music. A lot of people are totally against it. And I'm not against it. I'd rather have the live. But I say of music like that, what I'd say of them beans, this wouldn't be true of spiritual things, but it is of this physical illustration here, that I'd rather have somebody up here playing the guitar and the violin and the piano and the banjo. I'd rather have that live music up here playing than to have it coming out of the speakers back there on the CD. I'd rather have the live. But if I don't have the live, if I don't have somebody that can play all of that, that's better than nothing, I guess. Amen? That's the way with them Lux beans. If you don't have them cooked all day, you don't have them with that ham hock in them, you don't have them that you can look in and you can't see all the way to the bottom of the bowl through the soup. If you don't have them, I'll tell you, a can of Lux beans, I guess, is better than nothing. Amen?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this: is you if you've ever had the real, ever seen the real,
amen, brother Rick.
You don't have no problem.
Yeah.
Pointing out that's not real.
That's right.
Now, how do you tell a carnal man? Well, he tells us here in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said in verse 2, "I had to feed him with milk,
oh me, brother,
and not with meat." Mm. He can tell you by his appetite.
Yeah.
You can tell you about his appetite.
Yeah.
Now we have a young baby in our family now. She don't eat what we eat. If she were to come to the table, she'd be taking milk.
Yeah.
We'd be eating roast or chicken or whatever we might have, we'd be eating that, but we wouldn't hand her a chicken leg and expect her to eat.
Amen, brother.
You say why? She's not of age. And young Christians, when they first get saved, they have to start out on the meal.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
And I'll tell you, eating meat's good with a glass of milk.
Yep.
Milk's always good to wash the meat down with. Amen?
Yeah.
And not everybody eat meat. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you got false teeth, or maybe you ain't got no teeth. You still like pork chops, but you can't eat them. You say, why? Because you don't have no teeth. But it don't matter where you got teeth or not, you can drink milk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody can take a little milk, Brother Eddie.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
But not all Christians are. We have it right now in this church. We have folks who have been saved. We've got a fellow just got saved last week. We got folks that got saved in December, some in November, and on back through the year.
Oh, yeah.
We were able to see folks saved. They're not all at the same spiritual state.
Right.
And as you grow, then you're able to eat different foods and digest them. And so don't think you're not saved. Or don't think there's something wrong with you if you don't understand sometimes my preaching or somebody else's teaching. Don't think that there's something wrong with you. You just may need to grow a little more before you're able to digest that. Amen.
Amen.
And the carnal Christian is not necessarily carnal because he can only take milk. But the carnal Christian, you can tell him by his appetite. You say, what do you mean? His appetite is the things of the world more than the things of God.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. You can tell his appetite because he'd rather have worldly stuff than Bible stuff.
Amen.
And so you have to develop that appetite. You know, your appetite changes as you grow, and your appetite changes as you grow in the Lord. Your appetite changes. Amen. Things you used to didn't like may become now your favorite thing. Amen. It changes as you grow along. As you grow, the things change. But I want to tell you something. When you get saved and you start eating spiritual things, and the more you eat them, the more you'll like them.
Amen.
First start out, you may not like it, but the more you eat it, the more you'll like it. You'll adapt an appetite for it. And my mother, she never did like Crystal hamburgers. She never did like them. But now I carry her several every week. You say, why? She loves them. It's one of her favorite things. You say, how'd that happen? Well, she just ate them one day. She got started on them, and I guess she's developed an appetite for them, and now she likes them. Amen?
Amen.
And so when you got saved, you got started on the Word of God. And you read a few pages. Your devil probably led you over there to First Chronicles, the whole thing's genealogy's all the way through over half the book, and you might have went over there and thought, I don't like this. Well, in the first place, you got started eating the wrong place. Amen.
Amen.
But when you read a little bit every day and begin to get an appetite from the Word of God, you'll get where you like it. You'll get where you want it every day. Amen.
Amen.
You'll get where you want more and more of it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
I've always liked coffee. Y'all gonna be hungry now for me.
Amen.
But I've noticed as I grow older, I like it stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen. Guilty,
brother. I just bought a case the other day. Seemed like the other day I bought a whole case of the kind I use. Brother Eddie, I've had the real.
Amen, brother.
So that little jar of instant stuff don't suffice me.
Amen.
I've had the real. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I went to get a can out the other day, and I told my wife, I said, I can't believe that all six cans of that coffee's already gone. She said, I can.
Amen, brother.
I used to drink one cup in the morning, then I went to two, and then I went to three, and several days this week I've had eight.
Ten every morning, brother.
And used to, if I drunk three cups, I'd be wired, man. I'd be wild. I'd drink a whole pot and go to bed, sleep like a baby now.
Amen.
You say, what's happened? I guess arteries all clogged up and all that stuff. I guess it don't phase it anymore. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, the more I've had it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the more you get around the Word of God, the more you get around the real thing, the more you keep reading that Bible, you'll get where you like it. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you,
brother.
But the carnal man, he doesn't like the Word of God. He hadn't eaten enough of it to realize how good it is. You know why I don't like some things? I've never tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at it and thought I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I've never liked cottage cheese. Or buttermilk. To me, it all is sour milk. Clabbered milk. And so one day I thought, you know why I don't like cottage cheese? I never tried cottage cheese. So I bought me some cottage cheese. That wasn't why I didn't like cottage cheese. If you like cottage cheese, you need to get saved. I mean, listen, I could never eat enough of that to get an appetite for it. But I have an appetite today for the Word of God. I got a house of it every day, Brother Eddie. It's like that coffee. I used to take one verse a day. Now I got to have five or six or seven chapters or a whole book.
Amen.
You say why? I developed an appetite for the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, a real good picture of a carnal Christian in the Bible is Lot. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
A Lot saved. But he's a real good picture of a carnal Christian.
Right.
You say, how you know he's saved? You don't know. Yeah, I do, because the Bible told me he would.
Yes, right.
2 Peter 3.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yep.
But you can tell a carnal man by his attitude. Where's that at? Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
For you're yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy, strife, and division. Are you not carnal? He's talking about attitude there. You can tell a carnal Christian, now they're saved, but they got an attitude problem. You say, what do you mean? Well, they're always wanting to fuss. They're always wanting to get something started. They're always wanting to divide up. They're always wanting to walk as men. And the Bible says that kind of a person, maybe they're saved, they're a Christian, but they're a carnal Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. A carnal Christian. That's why you get in some of these churches, all they do is fight.
Yes,
right.
Every Sunday, they can't wait to get in there and take their coats off and go at it. Amen. They can't wait for that monthly business meeting to get in a fight over who's going to buy 100 watt or 75 watt light bulbs. They can't wait, amen. Spiritual people don't care nothing about that. I don't care, man. Put in whatever lights you want.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I'm not here for the lights. I'm here for the Word of God.
Amen.
They got a bad attitude. Now you get the church where you got less carnal people, you'll have less trouble.
Yeah, brother.
You'll have less fighting. You'll have less fusses, less church splits.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Amen. And you say, well, how do you get people not to be carnal? Well, they've got to eat that Word of God and grow in it and get mature.
That's it, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And then they'll be mature.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you this. You can tell them, look here in verse 4. He said, while one saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, he said, you're carnal.
Yeah.
You say, what's that talking about? That's talking about their admiration.
Yeah.
One says, I'll tell you who I like. I like Paul. Another said, I'll tell you who I like. I like Apollos. One said, I like Cephas. He can outpreach them all. One said, I like this one. I like that one. And Paul said, y'all are carnal.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? He said, your problem is you're carnal. You say they were bunching off in little groups.
That's right.
Yep.
You say, what's that mean? You know, they were getting off in little groups, and the word we use for it is cliques.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
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 Good preachers, yeah.
Yep.
I hate that word.
Yes.
I hate it. Yes.
Bless him, Lord.
This church has no cliques.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
You say, what do you mean? I mean this. If you got a nice suit on like Jack's got on today, tell who's got money.
Yeah.
Or if you come in here today, you got tennis shoes on with the holes in them and a t-shirt, and that's the best you got, you're just good as he is.
Yeah.
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 And if I said this once, I've said it 30 times, Brother Lance.
Yep.
Nobody in this church is better than anybody else in this church.
Amen. Amen.
You might have a better car. You might have better money. You might have a better job. You might have a better house. You might have this. You might have that. But when it comes to this church, when it comes to the cross, when it comes to being saved, when it comes to Jesus Christ, that we're all just a bunch of old sinners that came to the cross and God gave us revelation of the gospel.
Amen.
And we got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
I said this church has no cliques in that sense of the word. This church does have cliques in this sense of the word. There's folks you like better than others.
Yes. Amen.
You say, why is that? Oh, you probably got more in common. You probably have some common ground of interest there. And so you might sit over here with this group instead of sitting over here with that group. You might talk more to them over here than you do over there, or over here more than you do them over there. You say, why? Well, it's because you've got more things in common.
Amen.
Probably the folks that talk about cliques, they have cliques themselves.
Yeah. Right.
You say, what do you mean? There's people's houses they go to more than other people's houses.
Yeah.
Why is that? They got something in common. They got an interest. We're preaching now. They talk more to those people than they do other people. Does that mean they don't like them? No, they just got more things in common. They're just more things in common. Lance kind of work he does might apply with somebody else. This brother here worked at Donnelly's. Bill worked at Donnelly's. I worked at Donnelly's. Eddie worked at Donnelly's. We know a lot about Donnelly's. Sometimes we'll get together and talk about Donnelly's. Amen? I'm going to say a click like that's not wrong. And you're going to find it in your neighborhood. You're going to find it in your school. You're going to find it in your community. And you're going to find it in your church, wherever it is. Amen? But God forbid that we ever have a click where that we think somebody's better because of their social standing, because of the money they have, because of where they live, because of what they do, because of their educational level. No, sir, we're all the same.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Admiration. You say a carnal person, he's still looking at man.
Yeah, man's person, admiration.
You say, Brother Rick ever leaves here, I'm leaving. You're carnal.
Amen.
You say, Brother Rick ain't preaching tomorrow, I ain't coming. You're carnal.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. If some speaker comes through here and you don't ever come on Sunday night and you show up because he's here, you're carnal.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You say, what do you mean? You're looking at men instead of looking at the things of God.
Amen.
He said these men are carnal. Don't come to church for Brother Rick. Dear Jesus, don't come to church for Brother Rick. I come to church for Jesus.
Amen.
I come to church to see what Jesus might say to Brother Rick. I come to church to worship Jesus, not Brother Rick. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just a little messenger boy. I'm the under shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, thank God. You come to church because you love the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks to God.
Amen.
Don't follow some preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Follow Jesus. Carnal. Now the Bible gives us a real good illustration of that old carnal nature way back in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Genesis 8. It said, Noah and them's in that ark.
Yeah.
Now, you know, no Old Testament type is a perfect New Testament type. They break down somewhere. That ark, we say that ark's type of Christ, but it's not a perfect type.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? It's got clean things and unclean things in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Christ had nothing but clean.
Yes, right.
But that ark does make a type of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're saved, we have a clean thing in us.
Yep.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good thing.
Amen.
But we still got that old carnal nature, unclean, living in us.
Mm-hmm.
So when Noah landed that ark, look there in verse 6. Chapter 8, it said, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Oh, black raven. He sends them out and never comes back. You say, what's he doing? Oh, he's landing out there on that old dead cow floating out there.
Right.
What's he doing? Oh, he's out there floating on top of that corpse. Picking at it. You say, why? He's unclean.
Right.
You see your old unclean nature, it'll land right on that old X-rated booty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah, brother.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Your old unclean nature, man, it'll land right on that pornography junk. It'll land right on all that stuff. Even eat some of it, even partake of some of it. You say, what is that? That's that old unclean nature.
Amen. Yeah, man.
Yep.
But you let that dove out. Dove went out and come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You say, why? He couldn't find no clean place. Yeah.
That's right.
To rest.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. No rest.
You see your old unclean nature. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
You see your old unclean nature. It'll land on any channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah. They're cussing, they're fornicating, they're committing adultery, they're stripping off, they're dancing naked, and your old unclean, spirit just pop right on there. Love it.
Yep.
Amen.
It's your clean spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
He says, turn that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Turn that thing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Switch that channel.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't stand this. I can't take this.
Yeah.
What is that? That's that unclean. That's that clean spirit.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave it on that, I'm going outside.
Yeah.
Why? Can't rest on that junk.
Right.
It'll be around.
It'll be around.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that's a carnal Christian. He's saved, but his love life ain't got right yet.
Amen.
Right.
How's your love life?
Great.
Look, one more. Mr. Spiritual Man.
Glory to God, brother.
Say, where's he at? We read it there, and I really could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Mm-hmm. Now, he used to be Mr. Natural Man. But he got saved, and he may have even been for a while Mr. Carnal Man. But now he's got the right appetite, going to the right places.
Glory, brother.
Believing the right person.
Amen.
Yes.
And he's got to be Mr. Spiritual Man. Now every church needs several Mr. Spiritual Men.
Yes. Amen, Brother Rick.
To help Mr. Natural Man find the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And then we need several spiritual men to help Mr. Carnal Man to get on the right stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And to get away from that. And get him away from the things that harm him. Amen.
Amen.
You say, how can you tell a spiritual man? Well, you tell him because he reads. He's a scriptural man.
Yep.
Yep.
Look at verse 13. Mm-hmm. He says, let's start back in verse 10. But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, Brother Durbin preached on that verse yesterday, and he made this statement. He said, the Bible said, what knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? Mm-hmm. Now, Stacy's not here today. She had a death in her family. Please remember her and Leah them today. But I suppose maybe more even than Elaine or even than his Uncle Mike or his aunt, Mike's wife, his aunt. What's her name?
Renee,
yeah.
Just check it, see how he
did. Yeah.
But now, I'd say that Stacy knows Nathan better than anybody in here.
Yeah, amen. Yep.
But there's somebody that knows him better than Stacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the Spirit of God that's inside of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
And your wife says, boy, I know you. Well, she probably knows you better than anybody else, but the Spirit inside you knows. That's what the Bible said.
Yes.
It's what we just read.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as Brother Durbin said, and it's true, who knows the things better, the things of God, than the Spirit of God? Because he was with God.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Spirit of God takes the things of God and he brings them down and he shows them unto us. And the reason the natural man can't understand them is because his spirit's dead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And until he gets saved and gets his spirit revived, renewed, brought back to life, he cannot understand the things of God.
Yes. Right.
But now the Holy Spirit is communing with my renewed spirit and he's showing me and teaching me and showing me the things of God.
Amen.
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 He said, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
Amen.
Now watch this, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things.
Yeah.
For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
And he that is spiritual judgeth all things.
Amen.
You see, he judges all things, but he uses the spiritual road to judge them.
That's right.
He doesn't say, well, I think.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you what I believe. Mm-hmm. Oh, the spiritual man says, I'll tell you what God says about
me. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tell you what God says about them. Paul told Timothy, he said, until I come, give your attendance to reading.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon that's probably the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
When he was in the Mamertine prison, he said, I'm cold, bring my coat. But he said, also bring the books.
Amen.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as being a spiritual man or woman as you ought to be, mm-hmm. and neglect the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
can't be. You say, I know somebody spiritually, they shot up and down the hallways, and they cry and jump and hoop and holler, and they don't know nothing about the Bible. That's their emotion.
Right. Come on, man.
That's going back to the soul, the seat of the emotion.
Yes.
And that's good. I mean, that's good. When you get saved, God takes care of that too.
Yes, right.
And He uses your emotions, praise the Lord. I'm not by no means condemning that. But I'm just saying you can do all that and not even know John 3:16.
Right. Amen.
When I first started preaching, my heart was much tender than it is now, I'm sad to say. I pray every day that God will give me that heart that I used to have.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
But I couldn't stand without weeping. I couldn't testify without weeping. I couldn't hardly sing songs without weeping. But 35 years of living in the world, Jesus warned us, if you ain't careful, it'll make your heart hard.
Amen.
Amen. I pray every day mine won't be. I don't want it to be last. I don't want that, Brother Nathan. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that when I first started preaching, a lady told me, she said, you're going to go far. Overly. I said, well, thank you, ma'am, but why do you say that? She said, because you're spiritual. What she meant was, I cry all the time. I didn't know no Bible at all. I wasn't spiritual. I was emotional. But now I'd like to think,
bless him, Lord,
that I'm more spiritual than I am emotional.
Amen.
You say, why? I know the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm learning the Word of God.
Yeah, true. Amen.
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 So the natural man, the Bible says here in these verses so much he reads. Let me tell you something else. I'm talking about spiritual man. Let me say this. I'm trying to hurry here this morning. Let me tell you something else about the spiritual man. Not only does he read, that he restores.
Yeah.
Look at Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if you want to study that out, that means something that took him by surprise.
Right.
He wasn't planning on it happening. He got sidetracked. He got ambushed by the devil.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And he said, you which are spiritual, don't jump on him. Don't beat him over the head with a Bible club. But restore such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Right.
That spiritual man, he sees a brother fall, he doesn't delight in it.
Right.
He doesn't join in to push his down father.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
But if he's got any spirituality about him, he wants to restore that man. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's mad and left the church and willfully and you done talk to them, they won't come back and they're out in sin, staying in sin. I'm talking about somebody that didn't plan on it, somehow or another, the devil just jumped.
Right.
And sidetracked him. The spiritual person restores other people.
Amen.
Now let me say this morning, and I'm done today. But you can tell him, you can tell that spiritual man by what he reads, the scriptures. You can tell him by how he handles spiritual matters. He restores, he deals with things in a proper fashion.
Amen.
But you can tell him by what he resembles. You say, what do you mean? That carnal man, he resembles the natural man.
Yeah.
That carnal man, he looks like the world.
Yeah.
Acts like the world.
Right. Amen, Brother.
Talks like the world. Eats like the world. Runs with the world. But you can tell that spiritual man, talk about three men in the Corinthian church, you can tell them by what he resembles. I don't know a more spiritual man in the Bible than the Apostle Paul.
Right.
You know what Paul said in Philippians? He said, for me to live is Christ.
Amen.
What Paul was saying is this.
Yeah.
If I live, I'm going to be living so much like Christ that for me to live is Christ.
Amen.
People's going to see me doing things that Christ did. People's going to see me handling matters and situations the way Christ would.
Amen.
He resembles a Christian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, the Christian never did call himself a Christian. But it was in Acts 11 when they were down in Antioch and they were just going around and telling the story and living the life And people said, it says that they were, those disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
Amen.
Why was they first called Christians there? Because they watched them and they were acting like Christians.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Took note of it.
They took note of it, Brother Eddie.
Yes.
They were spiritual people.
Amen.
Amen. And I, brother, couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, as even unto babes in Christ. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase.
Amen.
So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Mike may have taught, you may have listened. I may have preached, you may have listened. But we're one.
That's right.
Amen.
If anything good happened in there this morning, God did it.
Amen. Amen.
If anything happens good out here today, God did it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you get saved this morning, it wasn't the preacher.
Bless you, Lord.
It wasn't me. All I've done is come along and just poured a little water probably on where some other preacher done planted some seed.
Bless you, Lord.
And all at once the Son of God bursted forth out of heaven, amen, shined light on it, and it got warm and it come forth.
Amen.
Heaven.
But it was God,
amen,
that gave the increase.
Amen.
It was God that gave the increase.
Amen.
Somebody said, you know, they do everything now. Just do everything now. Somebody said they can't create life. He said, yes, they can. They might test you babies. But they have to take what God's already used.
Yes.
To make
it.
Amen, brother.
Let them start where God started, with a handful of dirt.
Yeah. Amen.
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 See how they do with that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Same thing's true of a Christian. You can put up a building, set a steeple on top, get your man with a suit and a book to come in and preach. But he can't make a Christian.
Right.
That's right, brother.
Right.
Only God,
amen,
can make a Christian.
Amen.
An actual man, he's only been born once. He's going to die twice.
Amen.
But the spiritual man, he's been born twice. He's been born the natural birth, and then he's been born from above. His spirit's been rebirthed.
Yep.
Amen.
He's been born again. And that part will never die.
Yep. Amen.
Never die again. Amen.
Amen.
Where are you at this morning? Just, you know, you and God looking at it.
Yeah.
Are you a natural man this morning? You say, I've never been saved. Well, you can be.
That's right.
Amen.
Every spiritual man and even every carnal Christian was lost before they was ever there.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You say, I'm saved, Brother Rick, but the Word of God has helped me to realize this morning that I'm a little bit carnal. What do I need to do? Well, repent of it first.
Yes. Yes.
And then start reading that book.
Amen.
And start praying. And start desiring spiritual things instead of carnal things. You say, Brother Rick, I'm spiritual. What do I do? Just keep growing. Just keep going.
Yep.
Ain't none of us arrived yet.
Right.
Amen.
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 But there will be some of us a way along on the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning for the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, a lot of times, you know, Lord, we don't understand a lot of things, but we just sit and let God show us and teach us. Really give us that revelation. We can get it. We can get it. And I hope that, Lord, they got some of it this morning. And I hope they'll think about it and read the Bibles. And the more they think about it, the more they read the Bibles, that the image will become clearer and clearer in their mind until they can see the picture. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's a natural man in here, born of a natural birth, natural woman, boy, girl, they're lost. The old natural man, he's wicked. At that old damaged state, he's so bad that one day the death will kill him, hunt him down, kill him. And after that, he's already been sentenced to spend eternity in the eternal prison, hell, forever and ever and ever. That's how bad he is. He can't be let out. But a pardon has been issued. Someone has volunteered to come take his place. And as bad as that old birth was, God the Father has made it so that the Spirit can be reborn again. And be able to commune with God and know and understand the things of God. And I pray if there's someone today, Lord, lost, that they'd come today and have that new birth that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about. Lord, help us all. I know we all at times are carnal. Lord, let the old carnal man, let him come around less and less. Help the spiritual man to show himself more and more. Lord, one day we'll grow up into a perfect man. We'll be just like Jesus Christ. That ought to be the goal of every Christian.
Yes. Amen.
Help us, Lord, today. I pray you'll help folks to come as you've dealt with their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Let's stand if you would, please.
119.
Are you all?
the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If there's a baby born and never did grow, you'd know there's something terrible wrong.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And if a Christian gets saved and never did grow,
mm-hmm.
there's something terrible wrong.
Yep.
Amen. It could be the person feeding him ain't giving what he needs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be there's some kind of problem or sickness or not eating. It could be a lot of things. Yeah. There's some problem somewhere.
Yes.
Wrong birth.
If a person not growing as a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever thought, man, if we could just get our spiritual light body to grow like our physical body?
Yeah.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
We have some giants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, God.
All right. Anyone have a word today before we dismiss? Brother Eddie.
Appreciate the preaching the Word of God, Brother Rick. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You said here for the Word of God. That's exactly why I'm here. I need is the heavenly manna, and I'll tell you right now, buddy, you don't make it too far without the Word of God, and I'm glad the right Word of God's preached here.
Bless you, buddy.
And you know, when you become spiritual, you realize which one is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit won't bear witness nothing but truth. And I'm glad, praise God, God's Word is truth. It's preached here. Appreciate the message.
Amen. Yeah, I was reading this morning in the old Spurgeon book, and he said that people talk about the truths of the Word of God, but the Bible is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't just
right.
true on certain things, certain right. parts. It's all true. It's just one big truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. And you know what the truth will do.
Thank you for it.
All right. Anybody else today? Word of testimony and praise today. All right. Thank you for coming out on this cold morning this morning. And I'm sure the old devil probably told you to stay in bed today. It's too cold to go to church, but it won't be too cold to go to school tomorrow.
Yeah, man, brother.
Yeah, some of you kids won't try it, and it won't work. It won't be too cold to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah,
it ain't too cold to go to church.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Lord bless you for your
going. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Keith. Appreciate you, brother.